I had a wonderful time again last night at doing the Zoom teaching to the guys at the Phoenix Rescue Mission, and I've been recording those video teachings, and they're on my YouTube channel, which is available. There's a tab on the website, Confidence and Joy. You can click on YouTube if anyone is interested in those. And since last year, I've been posting our Sunday teachings on the website as well. So there's a tab there, Confidence and Joy. It says recent teachings. So for people that would want to access those, or you can share that with others. A couple of announcements. Mike and JC are having a baby in September. We've known for a while, but you know, keep everything hush hush, but now it's okay to let people know. So we will be having a grandson in September. So we're excited about that, September. And one other thing before we get into the word this morning. Yes, it will be 50 years this coming Saturday. Mm-hmm. Kathy and I are celebrating our 50th this coming Saturday. So it was actually January of 1971 after we went to the drive-in movie to see Woodstock. It was after that, in the driveway of her girlfriend's house where she was staying, that I proposed. And obviously she said yes. So we better get to the Bible or I'll start telling a bunch of stories, and we can do some of that later, but we're blessed. We are don't have any big plans really for Saturday. Since we're in the middle of the advanced class, we are holding off our big celebration. We will be going somewhere in July. So anyway, take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5 to begin. Today is Sunday, May the 2nd, 2021. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to begin. This is what's called the Sermon on the Mount. I just want to look at one verse from the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 6 of Matthew 5, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." What a great promise from God. For those that are hungry, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, God says they will be filled. I think anyone who has even the slightest bit of spiritual perception would agree that our country needs the light of God's word. Over the past couple of months, I've heard several different talk show hosts, not on religious stations, but on talk radio, conservative talk radio. Sometimes I punch them in when I'm driving in my truck. I've heard them mention our country needs a spiritual awakening. Our country needs to turn back to God, which is remarkable when you consider it's not even a religious station. But I think we all know our country really needs God's word. And there are really two big keys, not the only keys, but two big keys in seeing spiritual revival in our country is praying for the outreach of God's word. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." And in Colossians 4, Paul said, "With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ." And I think we're familiar with 1 Timothy, if you'd turn there. I'm sure we're really familiar with 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all." And we don't want to forget these guys, "for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. God would like everybody to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If there is to be a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival in our country, well, first of all, we pray. We pray lots. We pray for those in positions of leadership and authority, and we pray for open doors to speak God's word. And secondly, as Jesus said, let your light shine among men, among women. Let your light shine that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we let our light shine as we look for open doors to share God's word with people. And not everybody you meet is going to want to hear about God's word, right? Not everybody is hungry for God's word. That verse from the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. So many times in the Bible, God compares his word to food or drink. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And so not everybody that we run into is necessarily going to be hungry. And this morning, I would like to share a little bit on how to recognize those who are hungry, those who are looking, those who are seeking, those who want to know God and the things of God. So if you turn back to Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus sending the 12 out. Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaea, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12, verse 5, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, look at this, inquire who in it is worthy. And there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. That shake off the dust of your feet, there's a chapter in this book that I wrote, What Does It Mean? And in that chapter, it's called Shake Off the Dust of Your Feet. This custom, Eastern idiom, means to shake off any animosity or bitter feelings felt towards someone. In doing so, one has peace in his or her heart and mind. In other words, do not carry any anger, hurt, blame, resentment, or regret upon leaving someone. We are encouraged to preach the word of God, and we certainly want people to respond favorably to it. If they do not, however, one might be tempted to be upset with them. Shaking the dust off means do not carry any of that in the mind or heart. The same is true if one is treated poorly. Do not carry any of that either. It is much better to leave it all there and move forward with God's peace in one's heart and mind. About this topic, Bishop Pillai said, "Dust is symbolic of hatred, malice, grudge, resentment, and ill will. Don't carry these things with you, but rather carry only love, no matter how much harm is done unto you." Some Christians feel obliged to make people accept and believe the gospel. However, it is the responsibility of those who hear the message to decide what they will do with it, accept it or reject it. When one shares the gospel, he or she is simply a messenger, like the 12 were, like Paul and Barnabas were. An individual is not responsible for another's response. When that response is less than favorable, one can shake the dust off his or her feet and move on. Isn't that beautiful? So that's what Jesus Christ told them there in verse 14. You know, if people are going to, the ones that are not worthy, the ones that didn't receive them and listen to their words, for those people, Jesus Christ just said, just shake the dust off, move on. Now, I want to look at this word worthy. Worthy means having the weight of another thing of like value, worth as much, befitting. It's used of one who has merited anything worthy. Another way of understanding it would be to say worthy of or deserving of. Now, before we, you know, jump off the cliff and go, whoa, what? None of us deserve anything from God, right? We couldn't earn anything from, none of us deserve eternal life, right? And God does not have favorites. We know from John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that just the chosen few, whosoever believes, would not perish but have everlasting life. God's invitation is to all people. And then in Romans 10:9, it says, if, it's conditional, it's a choice, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we just read a few minutes ago in Timothy, God would have everybody to be saved. So it's an open invitation. So we have to keep that in mind when we're looking at this word worthy. So Jesus Christ sent the 12 out and they were to preach looking for people who were worthy of or deserving of the message. So how can you tell who is worthy or deserving of the message that you have? What would be some indications of that? Well, here in verse 14, those who were not worthy, it says that they didn't want to hear, right? They wouldn't, it says, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words. Those people were not worthy. They were not hungry. They just didn't want to hear. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22 is a parable that Jesus Christ spoke. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. So this is not like the first invitation. You know, if you know about weddings in the biblical culture, it was quite a process. These people had already been invited long before, but now it's time. So here's the servants going out there to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. I'm not going. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready, come to the marriage. And they made light of it. Oh, who cares about that marriage? I ain't going. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Wow. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Ooh, they made the wrong choice. Then, look at this. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. They were not worthy. Now, this parable goes on, and I'm not going to read the whole parable because I'm trying to keep my focus this morning on worthy. They were not worthy. In verse 3, it said they would not come. In verse 5, it says they made light of it and went their own ways. In verse 6, they treated them spitefully, those that brought the invitation, and they went so far as to kill them. That shows us why they were not worthy. When Jesus sent the 12 out that we read in Matthew 10, he sent them to preach and to bring deliverance to people. And they were to inquire. They were to find people who were worthy, deserving of the message. Those that weren't worthy were those that wouldn't receive them, didn't want to hear their words. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13. This is a really great record in Acts 13. It's Paul going to Antioch of Pisidia. You know, there's two Antiochs in Acts. This is not where Paul and Barnabas and all those guys were hanging out in Antioch of Syria. This is Antioch of Pisidia. And if you look in Acts chapter 13, verse 14, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. They just came to the meeting, sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Is there something you'd like to share with everyone? Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. Wow, isn't this great? What a great open door for Paul to speak and preach the gospel. And he gave them quite a history lesson of God working with his people, beginning with getting them out of Egypt. And then, of course, the message eventually got to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we won't read the whole thing, but let's pick it up in verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. I'm sharing glad tidings with you. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it's also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now to no more return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So many times when Paul shared God's word, he reminded them of the word, the Old Testament. You know, they didn't have the New Testament. He couldn't say, you know, take your Bibles and turn to Acts 13 because this is where we are right now. I'm here in Pisidia. No, he couldn't do that, right? Verse 35, wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Man, he's just laying it out for him that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, salvation from this man, to believe this and to get forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. How about that? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That's in between the Sabbaths there, right? And verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wow. I think I would call that a spiritual revival. I would call that a little bit of a spiritual awakening. Almost the whole city came together. They wanted to hear what? The word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, and they saw how many people, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, you Judeans, you people of the Judean background. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, whoopee, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life did what? Believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they, what did they do? Shook off the dust of their feet. Okay, fine. If that's how you feel. Shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Look back on verse 45. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting. Spake against and contradicting, same word. And it just means that, speak against, you know, to say that which is contrary. And then blaspheming is slander. They spoke against those things. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, you put it from you. It is a choice. It's a decision. You put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy. They judge themselves unworthy. Just like the people in that parable that Jesus Christ taught in Matthew. These people were unworthy. And again, John 3:16, it's open to anyone, whosoever believes, right? You know, you can read in Acts 26 when Paul was before King Agrippa sharing God's word. King Agrippa goes, wow, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. Agrippa wasn't really that hungry. He was like, well, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. When Paul was in Athens on Mars Hill preaching, let's look at that, it's not far away, Acts 17, if you would. Paul was preaching about Jesus Christ, and in verse 31, because he hath anointed, God has anointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all people that he raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked.
Really?
And others said, oh, it's almost lunchtime. I'll check this out later. Okay, I don't really have time right now. We'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. We know the word of God can help anyone and everyone. God's word is profitable for our everyday lives. It's not that we learn God's word so we can memorize scriptures, right? The answers to life are in this book. And what's not written in this book, God is big enough to reveal to you what you need, right? That's why we have the Spirit of God. The Bible's profitable to anyone and everyone, but only if they're willing to accept it and believe it. That's what being worthy of the message is. That's what being hungry and thirsting for righteousness. And it's the same with physical food, isn't it? You know, you could have a plate of the most nutritious, beneficial food there is and say, here, you really ought to eat this. I'd rather have a Snickers bar. Mm-hmm. I don't really care for peas much, or beans, or quinoa, or spinach, and all those things. Your choice, right? Your choice. So I love the way God sometimes compares his word with food, right? So what we saw in Matthew 22, why were they not worthy? They would not come. They made light of it, you know, like people do sometimes. Oh, the Bible, that old book. Really? You're into that? They go their own way. You know, I have things to do, okay? I really don't have time for this. Treat you spitefully or worse than that. In Acts 13, they were unworthy because they spoke against those things that Paul was teaching. Those are all choices that they made and indications of those who are not worthy. You know, you may ask someone to come to a fellowship or, you know, join on a phone hookup, right? Or share some of God's word with someone. You know, you might want to help people by sharing some of God's word, and they make light of it. Oh, you're one of those Bible people? Oh, you're one of those. Yeah, I'm not really interested in that. You know, there's a record in 2 Chronicles 30 where King Hezekiah, when he became king, cleaned up the crap. He got rid of all the idolatry that was in the land. Let's tear down those idols. Let's burn up the crap. Let's get rid of all this stuff. And he sent messengers out all over the kingdom. Time to get rid of this crap and turn back to the one true God. And you know, there's one area, you know how they received it in one area? It's amazing. It says they laughed and mocked. Their choice. So today you may share God's word. People might be too busy. I'm too busy. I've got things to do. Oh, I'll let you talk to me another time. Okay, it's fine. Well, the one I like is, you know, I'm really glad that you found something that works for you. That's really good. I'm happy for you. Or, you know, the other extreme is they treat spitefully. You know, you think about some of these places where it is just your life's on your line to be a Christian if the government finds out about it. Yeah. That's treating spitefully to the limit. So, those of us who are concerned about seeing the light of God's word spread in our country, we're looking for people who are worthy. People who are hungry for God's word. And you see it in the response. Now, we've seen some places in God's word where the response was not worthy. Let's look at a few places where the response was they were hungry and worthy. Look at Acts 2. In Acts chapter 2, you know that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, spoke God's word rather dynamically, beautifully. What a wonderful presentation of God's word. And in verse 41, it says of Acts 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They gladly received his word. Look at Acts chapter 8. This is Philip going down to Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people, look at this, with one accord did what? Gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They gave heed. You know, when Paul went to the town of Berea, it says, they received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures whether those things were so. Are there people out there today who would receive the word with readiness of mind and then get back into God's word to check it out? This same Philip in verse 26, the angel of the Lord, we're in Acts 8:26. The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip and said, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This is an important person. This is a high-ranking government official in the government of Ethiopia, Secretary of Treasure. Wow, nice to get the word to people in those positions. So what was he doing? He was returning and he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Well, I guess he was a person of great influence. Not everybody had access to the scrolls. So he's there sitting in the chariot, he's reading. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Get over there. Go speak to this guy. Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and Philip heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, You understand what you're reading? That's a great question to ask people. Oh, I read the Bible, do you? Do you understand what you're reading? Sometimes you can ask people, I've done it many times, what's your favorite part of the Bible? You know, and then they tell you. And that's an open door to share with them. Do you understand what you're reading there? And he went, How can I? I'm reading this. Do you understand it? No. How can I? Except some man should guide me. And look at this. He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Would you teach me? Oh, isn't that beautiful? I love that. He was reading the scriptures, wanted to understand. He had questions. So there were people back then that would look at the scriptures and would have questions, want to know, what does this mean? Are there people today like that are reading their Bibles going, I wish I understood this. How about Acts 10? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. This is a Gentile, and as you know, this is like the first time the word gets to the Gentiles. But he's a Roman soldier, and not just a soldier, he's a centurion in charge of all these soldiers, 100 soldiers he's in charge of. And it says he's a devout man. People can say, well, that person's pretty devout. If God says you're devout, period, end of story. He's a devout man and one that feared or reverenced God with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Here's a devout man that has reverence for God. He's a giver and he prays a lot. What a wonderful man. And he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. He said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa. Call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He'll tell you what you ought to do. Your prayers are answered. I think God's pretty concerned about getting his word to people who are hungry. And this man's prayers, you know, were answered. Look when Peter arrived there, look at verse 33. Cornelius is talking to Peter when Peter got there, and he says, Immediately, therefore, verse 33, I sent to thee, and you have done well that you are come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We want to know. That's spiritual hunger. That's someone who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. They want to know. I love the one in Acts 16, Lydia. In Acts 16, verse 13. This is when Paul went to Philippi. On the Sabbath day, Acts 16, 13, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Oh, we heard about a little prayer group going on over there. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. So this is a we would call her today a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple. Who worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Isn't that great? Oh my gosh, that's just so beautiful. Lydia was praying. She attended to the things that Paul spoke. You know, people that pray a lot, that's an indication of hunger. I ask people sometimes, do you pray very much? I've asked that to a lot of people, but I asked that to one guy and he said, why? What for? You ever read the Bible? What? Probably not hungry. Doesn't pray, doesn't read the Bible, just whatever. In this same chapter, you know, Paul and Silas got thrown in the jail there, and then there's the earthquake. That's in verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, run for your life. No. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Great question. Am I saved? How many people do you think don't know if they're saved, but would like to know? And they hear all kinds of things. Are you going to make it? You could go to heaven. You could not go to heaven. You'll probably go to hell for everything you've done. Are there people that would want to know? Those are hungry people that we could, you know, bring God's word to them. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Went a little long today, huh? Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. These folks in Thessalonica were just... You know, the folks in Thessalonica before Paul got there were idol worshipers. Bow before the idols, kiss the idol. Let me throw some incense over here to the idol. God bless you, idol. Help me in my daily things. Idol worshipers. It says that in chapter 1, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So even idol worshipers could be hungry. Business people, people in government, just anyone. Never know who's hungry, but you know, you can tell by the response. And if the response is funky, why do we want to waste our time with people? I mean, we're loving, we love people, but why do I want to waste my time? Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which works effectually also in you that believe. God's word will work. That's why we want to get the word to people, because it will help them. So as you and I look for open doors to share God's word, to help people, I think seeing some of these things in the scriptures helps us to recognize people that have spiritual hunger. And we don't waste our time. Or on the other hand, we don't feel bad. Oh, I should have said something better. Darn it. I'm going to call them 9 times a day. Do you want to hear God's word? You know what? If they're not hungry, they're not. It's their choice. And just knock the dust off the shoes and on we go. So again, the two biggest keys, pray for the outreach of God's word and let your light shine. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, in order for us to let our light shine, we've got to have some light to shine, right? That's why we learn God's word, we believe God's word, we live God's word, we walk in love, and now we're ready, like it says in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're ready. Our purpose is not to get people into our group. Our purpose is not to get people to take the classes that we take. Our purpose is not to get people to come to the fellowship that we come to. Our purpose is to get God's word into people, because that's what will help them. Isn't that what's helped us? That's why we do it. Two more places. Go to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying, or the word is faithful. And finally, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. This is, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, you know, till the Lord returns. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that is now, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Verse 9 in the Working Translation, the word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. People may judge themselves unworthy. People may make light of God's word. People may treat you spitefully, all those other things. They may, with their own free will actions, make themselves unworthy, but the word of God is worthy. So we pray for the outreach of God's word. We pray for open doors to speak God's wonderful word so as to help people. And that's why wherever we go, we have the love of God in our heart, and we just let our light shine. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Father, that just helps us so much to understand you, to understand all that you've made available to us and for us through the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, Father, what a great message that we have to share with people. What a great privilege it is for us to be able to share the good news, the glad tidings. Thank you, Father, for allowing us the privilege to be able to share your word. And as we wait for the return of your Son, may we continue to just look to you and trust you for all of the things that we need in our lives. And Father, may we let our light shine so that we could bring your goodness and your grace to others, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. We'll be back again next Sunday, which is Mother's Day, unless, of course, Christ returns. So until then, have a blessed week. God bless you.